السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الحمد لله بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. الحمد لله. Last week we started talking about the first call to Islam, the first period of da'wah, which was the secret or private da'wah. And I mentioned how it wasn't so much as a secret da'wah, because it was basically, the Prophet ﷺ was calling people towards Islam and people knew about it. Only thing, it wasn't a public announcement. It wasn't something being publicly called to. Islam was not publicly being called to. It was something being done privately. So this lasted for a period of about 3 years. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the Prophet ﷺ to take the da'wah public, and there's different ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the commandment for that. One of them where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wa anzir ashiratakal akhrabin," that warn those of your family, the close relatives of your family. Before we begin, I want to do like I usually do, is review from last week. Which young Sahabi was known for his dutifulness to his mother, and she became upset and she vowed not to eat or drink until he left Islam? Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas. Good. And anybody remember how old he was when he became Muslim? 17. He was 17. Barakallahu feek. And how was he related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? His mom. He's like his khal, his mamu, and basically he was a cousin of the mother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, so Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he was a cousin of the mother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he was 17. And much younger than the Prophet ﷺ, but he was the uncle or the khal of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is, we see this nowadays, where there's a person being born and he's an uncle to someone else already. But anyways, so Rasulullah ﷺ started giving da'wah privately in the beginning initial period. After a period of 3 years, the Prophet ﷺ was ordered to take it out publicly. And the first thing he did, actually before I talk about that, there was another young man, and I forgot to mention him last week. His name was Khalid ibn Sa'id ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu. And this Khalid, radiallahu anhu, he was actually one of the other young people who became Muslim. And some reports say that he was actually the fifth male Muslim. So after Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, Zayd ibn Haritha, Ali ibn Abi Talib, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, the fifth one, some reports say it was Khalid ibn Sa'id. So Khalid was a young man, and basically he saw a dream where he was standing at the edge of a huge abyss, and it's full with a raging fire. And basically he's standing at the edge of this, and he sees his father pushing him towards that fire, pushing him, he's about to fall into the fire. And then all of a sudden Rasulullah ﷺ comes out of nowhere. He grabs him from his waist, from his belt, and pulls him to safety. So he said, when he woke up, he went straight to Abu Bakr Siddiq radhan. And Abu Bakr radhan was known for ta'bir, so he told him about his dream. And Abu Bakr radhan says that perhaps this is talking about your religion, and that the Prophet ﷺ and what he has come with, this is going to save you from the hellfire. And when he went to the Prophet ﷺ, he became Muslim right away. And his father, Sa'id, when he found out that his son has become Muslim, he became enraged and he started beating him so much to the point that it's actually related. This one in Hayat al-Sahaba, there's a whole section where Mulana Qandali rahimahullah, he talks about different people and the sacrifices they went when they became Muslim for Islam. So Khalid ibn Sa'id radhiyallahu was actually the first person to be beaten for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Khalid got beaten so much by his father, he was beating with a stick on his head, and he broke a stick on his head, which gave him a huge gash. And so he kept on being, and then when he insisted on Islam, I'm not going to leave this religion, his father banished him from the house. He said, I'm not going to give you any food or drink, and just leave him. He said, Allah will provide for me. So he went, and his father later on, he became sick, and he vowed, he said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me health, or not Allah, he says, if the gods give me health, and I raise up from this sickness, I vow that I will not let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be worshipped in this land, meaning in Makkah. So he said, Khalid, the son, when he heard about this, he made dua against his father. He said, oh Allah, do not let him raise up from this sickness. And he actually died in that sickness. So Khalid ibn Sa'id radhiallahu anhu is actually the first person to be beaten for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So going on, we said the open da'wah was after a period of 3 years. Now Rasulullah s.a.w., the first thing he did was he climbed up upon the Mount Safa. So you know we have Safa and Marwa. He got up onto Mount of Safa. Nowadays Safa and Marwa barely, there's only a small remnant of the actual mountains that's still there. But it was a pretty large, you could say mount or mountain at that time. He climbed upon that mountain and he started calling out, Ya Sabaha. And Ya Sabaha, this is actually like ringing the alarm or pulling the alarm, basically. It's basically a call out that in the morning time, so Subh is usually when an army attacks. So basically you go out and you call us, you start warning the people, get ready, there's an enemy attacking. There's an attack that's imminent from the enemy. So he went out and alarmed this bell. Everyone started gathering. And they say those who were not able to go themselves, they sent a messenger to go and find out what's going on. What's this? Why is this alarm being sounded? What's going on, basically? So everyone's gathered. The Prophet ﷺ is standing upon Mount Safa. And Rasulullah ﷺ calls out to the different, he called them by their tribes and you know the names of their tribes. And as they get closer and they stand there, he says to them, أَرَأَيْتَكُمْ That if I told you that أَنَّ خَيْلًا بِالْوَادِي تُرِيدُ أَن تَغْيِرَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَكُنْتُمْ مُصَدِّقِيَّ That if I told you on the others, I remember he's standing on top of the mountain. So he's above them and on the other side, he says, if on the other side of this mountain, I told you there was an army is right here and they're ready to attack, would you believe me? And they all responded by saying, Na'am. They all responded by saying, yes. They said that ma jarabna alayka illa sidqa, that we have not experienced anything but truthfulness from you. So they say this, and then the Prophet ﷺ, after they confirmed that he is truthful and that they would confirm that he's telling the truth, the Prophet ﷺ says, fa inni nadhiru lakum bayna yaday adhabin shadid, that I am warning you of an adhab shadid, a punishful torment that is about to come. إِنَّمَا مِثْلِي وَمِثْلُكُمْ كَمَثْلِ رَجُلٌ رَأَى الْعَدُوُ فَانْتَرَقَ يَرْبَأُ أَهْلًا That my example and the example of me and you is like a person who saw an enemy coming, approaching. So he went up on top of the mountain and he sounded the alarm to wake them up or to, you know, warn them. And then he started the message and he says, يَا مَعْشَرَ قُرَيْشِ He says, oh, the people of Quraysh, اشتروا اشتروا أنفسكم من الله That save yourselves, buy your freedom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أنقذوا أنفسكم من النار Save yourselves from the hellfire. فإني لا أملك لكم من الله ضرا ولا نفعا That I am not able to give any benefit nor harm to you from Allah. Meaning I cannot save you from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولا أغني عنكم من الله شيئا Meaning, I'm not able to do anything. You need to save yourselves. So he called them out. And then after that, his own aunt and then his daughter, Fatima radhiallahu anha, he called them out by name and said to them that I cannot do anything for you. You need to save yourself from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by following his commandments. Now, after saying this and finishing his speech, Abu Lahab, his uncle, he says, to Rasulullah ﷺ, he says, "Tabban lak sa'ir al-yom." That may your hands, may you be destroyed the whole day. May you be destroyed the whole day. Alihada jama'atana. That you called us for this. You called us to tell us this. You wasted my time. Basically, he's telling him, you wasted my time. Why did you do all this? And you call sounding alarm, all this. And you're just telling us that you have this adab coming or whatever is coming. You're wasting my time. So Abu Lahab responds in this way. And then the whole entire surah, Surah Al-Lahab was revealed, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tab, that may the hands of Abu Lahab be destroyed, or may they perish, and they will be perished, and they have perished. And then towards the end of the surah, speaking about his wife, her name was Jamil. So you have Abd al-Shams, was Abu Lahab, his name was Abd al-Shams, and then you have the Jamil, his wife. They were the aunt and uncle of the Prophet ﷺ. So after this Surah Lahab was revealed on that occasion, you can just imagine the kids, they're probably hearing this. So whenever they see Abu Lahab or they see his wife, I'm sure they were making fun of them, reciting these and taunting them in this way. You know how kids do. And that's infuriating them even more. They're like, how can our nephew talk about us like this? How could he disgrace us in front of our whole tribe like this? So on one occasion, Jamil, and she was a strong woman, she actually would carry firewood and she would do work and that kind of stuff. So she was a strong woman. She grabbed a stone, a pretty big stone, and she was seen walking around the streets of Makkah looking for the Prophet and saying, Aina Muhammad, where is Muhammad? Where's my nephew Muhammad? So she's going on and she comes upon Abu Bakr Siddiq, who was sitting next to the Prophet ﷺ near the Kaaba, and she comes up to Abu Bakr Siddiq and she says, and her intention was basically, if she sees the Prophet ﷺ, she'll smash him on sight with this rock, with this stone. So she says to Abu Bakr, where is your sahib? Where's your friend? Where's your companion? And Abu Bakr ﷺ remains silent, he doesn't say anything. And after she leaves, he turns to the Prophet ﷺ, who's right next to him. And he says that, what happened? You know, basically, she's standing right there in front of me, and she wants to, you know, smash you with this stone, okay? She's saying, I want to smash your boy, okay? So she says, I want to smash you. I want to smash the Prophet ﷺ. And he's sitting right next to Abu Bakr al-Adhan, and she does not see him. So how does this happen? Rasulullah ﷺ says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a satr, put a parda or a hijab over her eyes. She was not able to see me. Now, Rasulullah ﷺ, after this initial calling out on Mount Safa, another way of da'wah, and this is something that we see being done today, and this is from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, where Rasulullah ﷺ invited the family member, the men, male members of his family, of his tribe, to a banquet. So he called them to, remember, like they say, the easiest way to a person's heart is through their stomach. So if you give da'wah to people, one of the good ways to reach their hearts is inviting them food, sharing food with them. Okay? At'imu ta'am. Okay? Feeding people. That's a good way of giving da'wah. And that's why, like, for example, we see, you know, a lot of people, when these different organizations, Islamic organization and others, when they stand outside and hand out food packages, or give out food to the poor, or, you know, that kind of stuff. That is a beautiful way of giving da'wah. Not just giving them food and that's it, but giving them food and talking to about Islam. You'll win their hearts in that way. So Rasulullah ﷺ invites, they say, about 40 members of his family to a banquet. He tells Ali Radhan to get a sa'a of grain or barley. And he tells him, get one shoulder of a lamb, just one shoulder of a lamb, and get a bowl of milk. Okay, these three items, bring it. The Prophet ﷺ cooked the food and prepared the food. So basically, you can imagine this is just enough for maybe one or two people. Maybe one dish of food. All 40 male members of his family ate to their fill from that one plate. And after they had eaten their fill, Rasulullah ﷺ was just about to start his da'wah, but Abu Lahab, he tells everyone that tafarraqu, like everyone disperse, everyone go home, for verily my nephew has cast a spell on this food. He knew that the Prophet was about to give da'wah, so to stop that, he says, my nephew has cast a spell on this food, so everyone go home, everyone leaves. So everyone got up and left before the Prophet ﷺ was able to even give da'wah at that time. So he did it again. After a couple of days, he did another banquet, and in that banquet, he actually did call them to Islam and gave them da'wah. So one of the things about Abu Lahab, we know that, inshallah, when we get to that, you know, that period where he died, and so I'll talk about more detail. But we know Abu Lahab remained on kufr all the way to his death. And this is one of the things that the ulama, they say that if Abu Lahab wanted to discredit the Quran, all he had to do was fake his Islam, and tell people I'm Muslim now, and the surah that was revealed would have been void, right? But he did not do that. So he stayed on, he remained on his kufr all the way to his death. And this is one of the miracles of the Quran, that early on, his destruction was foretold in the Quran, and he died as a kafir. Now, Abu Lahab and his wife, both of them, they died as kafir, and they had two sons, Utba and Utayba. Now, these two sons, they were actually had nikah already done, so they were practically married. They weren't living with their wives yet, but they had nikah done with the daughters of the Prophet, with Ruqayya and Kulthum. So, radhiyallahu anhuma, with these two daughters of the Prophet, they had the nikah done. Abu Lahab forced his sons to break the nikah, to divorce them, so he can disgrace or try to discredit his nephew. That was one of the things, his evil tactics he did, tried to discredit the Prophet. He forced them to divorce, and alhamdulillah, Allah gave both of them a better husband. First, Ruqayya radhiyallahu anha was married to Uthman radhiyallahu anha. And then after Ruqayya radhiyallahu anha passed away, Kulthum, the other daughter, she was married to the Prophet, to Uthman radhiyallahu anha. And Uthman radhiyallahu anha had the nickname. Anybody know what's the nickname? Dhun Nurain, the one of two lights. So basically, because he was married to the two daughters of the Prophet ﷺ, he was known as the Nurain, the one of two lights. Now, so we know his sons, Utba and Utayba, they also died on kufr. And again, when I get to that spot, the part about the death of Abu Lahab, we'll understand more about that and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, evil comes to the evil ones. But the daughter of Abu Lahab, Dudra, her name was Dudra bint Abi Lahab. She actually became Muslim. She made hijrah to Medina Munawwara, and she remained a Muslim until she passed away. So that was the family of Abu Lahab, and they remained on this. And we will talk about how, for example, the Prophet ﷺ, after the open da'wah, for example, even during the Hajj time and during in the streets of Mecca, Rasulullah ﷺ would be seen walking through the streets of Mecca, calling to people towards Islam, and he would be walking, and his uncle would be behind him, and he would be picking up stones and throwing it at his nephew, causing the Prophet to bleed. And he would be telling the people, "Don't listen to this man. Don't listen to my nephew. I know him. He's a liar. He's this. He's that." He would be making up stuff, following the Prophet around the city and during Hajj. So, inshallah, we'll talk more about the open da'wah next week. Inshallah, we'll talk about the Islam of Bilal radhiyallahu anhu. And we'll talk about the deal that the kuffar came up with, trying to get the Prophet ﷺ to leave his da'wah. And we'll talk about that next week, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Khalid ibn Sa'id ibn al-As. I'm not sure if he was related to Amr ibn As. Maybe he was, I'm not sure.